The Bible says, work for a living and trust God. The culture says, gamble for your big break and trust yourself. Who's right? You guessed it, God is right. Nearly every dollar gambled is lost, taking money from more needful areas of life. And the few who win find their new wealth just puts them in bondage. Today, four reasons why gambling violates the Bible's teaching. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series tells about seven secret snares that can trap the Christian. Today, Dr. Lutzer is focusing on snare number two, gambling. Don't bet on it.
Let me give you four biblical principles that are violated by gambling. The first is the biblical work ethic. The biblical work ethic. You have to understand the gambling industry derides and depreciates and actually is, what shall we say, it takes work and it turns it into something that the gambling industry thinks should be derided and demeaned. Listen to this advertisement in Massachusetts. It says, there are two options on how to make millions. Plan A, start studying when you are 7 years old, real hard, get a good job, get up early each day, crush the competition, climb over your coworkers, be the last one to leave every night, avoid having a premature heart attack. By the time you're ready to retire, you should have your money. That's plan A. Plan B, play the lottery. Fat chance. Those are my words, by the way. Fat chance. That was not part of the advertisement. Now let me simply say this, friends, and I pour out my heart to you today. This is a disaster. It's an unscriptural disaster. Listen to what the Bible says about work. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy, they are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. What the Bible says is that work is a gift and it is commanded. Now, biblically, there are other ways that you can earn money. There is, first of all, work, there is inheritance, there is investments, and there is a gift. Those are the only legitimate ways. All others would be excluded from that. And please don't call gambling an investment. It does not have the qualities to be able to call it that. You know what gambling really is? It is stealing by mutual consent. You say, well, yes, but they are consenting to it. But just because they're consenting to it, it doesn't make it right. You don't take money from others and then you give it to all one person. That is not biblical. You're supposed to be motivated by a day's pay, by a day's work, and that opulent life that the gambling industry tends to paint. It is worldly and it is just plain wrong. First of all, gambling is contrary to the biblical work ethic. Secondly, it violates the principle of stewardship. You see, the Bible is very clear about the fact that all that we have has been God-given. Do you remember that parable of the man who went to the king, who went out and he gave all of his servants a mina? That's a talent of money. And then it says, he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. And he said, well done, my good servant. His master replied, "Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, "Sir, your mina has earned 5 more. He said, "You take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, "Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it and laid it away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow." And so he gave the 1 talent that he'd been given, the 1 talent or mina, back to him. Listen to what his master replied. "I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you not, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping where I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest?" Now, folks, I want you to think about this parable in this way. Here's a man who was very strongly rebuked by the king for just giving back what he had been given. The king said, "Why didn't you use it to earn more money for me?" Imagine what the king would have said if this man would have said, "I lost the 1 mina that you gave me because I never even hid it in the dirt. I gambled it in the lottery." My friend, you are responsible to God for your money. Who of us wants to stand before the Lord having lost it because we gambled it away? And this, by the way, is very, very important. A number of years ago, a man called me from the hospital. He had been hospitalized. He was a well-known Christian leader. If I mentioned his name, many of you would know him. And he called to say that when he was in the hospital, his wife discovered something. He had been secretly gambling, primarily the lottery, some casinos. And he had racked up, catch this now, $30,000 worth of debt on credit cards, and he'd been hiding it from his wife. But because he was in the hospital and the creditors began to call and the bills began to come in, he had to confess to her his terrible snare, that awful, awful secret. Now, this is a Christian man. He's a Christian leader. Imagine him standing before the Lord and the Lord saying, "What did you do with all that I gave you? This was my money. This is not your money." And he has to say, "I gambled it all away, and we have to sell our house in order to pay our debts. And here we are facing retirement with nothing." Tragedy. Double tragedy for a Christian. You know, this, by the way, I think is the answer, finally, to that question that people always say. Say, "Well, you know, I do it, but I'm not addicted to it. I buy 2 lottery tickets a week, and that's all I buy. I go to Las Vegas once a year," a friend of mine says. "I take $1,500 or $2,000 with me, and if I blow all that, then I come back and blow all that they do." You did hear, did you not, about the man who went to Las Vegas in a $30,000 Cadillac and came back in a $300,000 Greyhound bus. That's the story of many of those folks. But they say, "I'm not addicted. I just spend so much and it's fun and that's the end of it." My dear friend, I know that there are millions of people who fall into that category, but that money that you have, quote, fun with, that's God's money too. I believe that gambling is wrong in principle. In principle, it is wrong. And it's only a matter of degree. It's a matter of amount. But in kind, it still is the same. Gambling God's money is still gambling and contrary to stewardship. Third, it violates the principle of being satisfied with God's provision. You see, God has given us certain gifts. He's given us certain challenges. He's given us certain ways to get money. And as we begin to think about his provision, Paul says, "My God will supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You see, the problem is, if I might be clear here, gambling appeals to greed. It is what Bill Hybels calls the monster of the more. Give me more, give me more. It's the itch to be rich. And that's what drives people. People would never gamble just for a few dollars. But as the stakes go high, and by the way, the gambling industry knows that in order for them to keep everybody pumped, they have to sometimes have such things as a Powerball lottery that will go to a couple $100 million, because then people just lose all sense of reality and they begin to purchase tickets by the hundreds of thousands per minute throughout the United States. And they are doing that because people aren't satisfied with winning a couple million anymore. It has to be 250 or 290 million, like one of those Powerballs. My dear friend, that is contrary to everything that we find in the Scriptures, and the Bible warns about the desire to be rich. And you can take the message that I preached last time on greed and all of its implications, and you can put it right here under this point. Could I say also, number four, it violates the principle of God's providence. You see, God's providence governs our lives. We are not governed by chance, by the roll of a dice, by the twirl of a wheel. You say, well, yes, of course, God could govern the way the dice turns out. Most assuredly. In fact, some people justify gambling because in the Scriptures they sometimes cast lots. But let me be very clear that the casting of the lot had to do with a decision that had to be made, whether it was point A or point B. It had nothing to do with getting money that didn't belong to you. I can assure you of that. But my dear friend, the whole principle of chance, let me talk to you about chance for a moment. So many gamblers misunderstand this. You know what they think? They think that the longer they play the lottery, the better chance they have to win. Now, of course, if you buy more tickets in a particular lottery, you have a better chance of winning than if you buy few. That's certainly true. But once that drawing has been made and the next one starts, you do not have a better chance than anyone else who is just beginning the spiral of gambling. Your odds are not any better. I've heard people say, well, you know, I've been gambling now for 30 years and I figure that it should be my turn.
This is Pastor Lutzer. The other day I read in the newspaper about someone who had won, I think it was $30 million gambling. And this woman said that she wishes that they had never, never picked the right ticket. Because what the money did is it caused her husband to quit his job, to buy cars, to get involved in drink and various pleasures. And as a result of that, they were living a life really of debauchery, with all of that money being misspent. There's something about money that makes us so gullible, that leads us down the wrong path. And gambling is based on the notion that you and I are basically greedy. And if we can be enticed to purchase these tickets or however gambling takes place, then of course we're going to be happy. Well, number one, most people lose. And number two, even if you win, money can become a great curse, a great curse. I've seen this happen with parents giving their children far too much money in their inheritance. I think that we should give children a certain amount of money and then give all the rest of our earnings and our inheritance to the work of the Lord. Remember, we are accountable for what we have. Let's spend it wisely for the kingdom of God.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part two of Gambling, Don't Bet on It. Another message in a series on seven secret snares. Monday, more light on the darkness of gambling. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This series can be yours in Dr. Lutzer's book, Seven Snares of the Enemy. Your copy will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for Monday's Running to Win.